Okay, hi everyone. My name is Richard Sear. I'm a PhD candidate here at the University of Western Ontario under the supervision of Carol Jones. And today I'm going to talk a bit about my current project, which I'm doing in collaboration with Alex Gardofi and Despina, whose talk you're going to hear next. And so this project is about the gravitational effects of a close binary companion on the dynamics of a B star disk. So quick overview. I'm going to do a quick background because I'm pretty sure everybody here knows what a B star is, so I'm not going to go too much in details. I'm going to talk a bit more about what my project is and about the code I'm going to use for this project. Then I'm going to talk about where I am with the result. The results I currently have, and what are going to be the future work. So, like I said, a really quick background here. Just here to say that, according to Uchmeier and Parr 2010, about 30% of B stars in our galaxy are are binary B stars, which is relatively on par with normal B-type star. Now, these stars come in different they have a different range of mass ratio and separation, but what I'm really interested in is, as the title suggested, those who have a close companion. The reason is that in close binary system, the tidal forces of the companion can actually affect the dynamics of the disk, and that's what I found interesting. Now, here we have a figure taken from Okazaki et al. 2002, who did a simulation, an hydrodynamic simulation of a B X-ray binary system. And so you can see here, this is just an example of what I mean by how it can influence the disk. We see that we don't have an axisymmetric disk here, but we have these density wave or density arms that appeared, which personally I find pretty cool. So why do we want to study the dynamics of disk in binary system? Well, as has been mentioned quite a lot today, studying binaries can give us clues on the whole B star phenomenon. Now, the reason to study the dynamics is that if the dynamic of the disks change, this will have most certainly an effect on the observables. Now, if we don't know what this effect is, it's going to be hard to model. And since the observable is what we use to draw conclusions on the stars we study, then if we don't know what these effects are, we can't take them into account, and this can lead to erroneous conclusions. And finally, if we know what these effects are and we know what they look like when we look at the observable, this can help us find what I like to call the fingerprint of a binary system, and they might help our ability to detect other BE binary stars, or binary BE stars. So I talked about how it can affect the disk, but what sort of effect can we expect? So as I mentioned before, Okazaki et al. 2002 did study the dynamics of a disk for a BE X-ray companion. And one thing they showed in their paper is that the disk is expected to be truncated below the distance of the periastron of the companion, which is sort of expected, since you would expect, if you have a star going in the plane of the disk, that, and if it's close enough, that this star would sweep some material of the disk as it goes around. But they also shown that it also depends on the effect of the truncation will also depend on the density, the viscosity of the disk. So here we have two figures from their paper, which shows the surface density as a function of distance away from the star. And here we have for a low viscosity disk and a higher viscosity disk. As you can see, for the lower viscosity, we see that the truncation is much more it's much more important, it's much more present than in the higher for the higher viscosity. Another effect that they noticed, and you can sort of see it from these two figures, is that the slope of the so the density gradient before the truncation is much shallower here than here. And if you compare it with an actual disk where there's no binary companion, like here, where here we have the volume density that we expect for a disk without of a B star without a binary companion, and it, when you compare it with what we expect to see when there's a binary companion, we can see that here we have a much denser disk before the truncation. So this is another effect, often referred to as the watershed effect, that we that is expected to be present in the system. Finally, and this has been mentioned quickly in the last talk, in some star with binary companion, we see that the period of the VR variation correspond or is really near to the orbital period of the secondary. Here, I just listed a couple of B stars that this has been seen in, and this is an example. A figure from Zarikov et al. 2013, where we see the power spectra of the VR variation as a function of frequency. So there's a lot of peaks, but the highest peak here, if you convert that into days, you get a period of 83 days, which is really close to the orbital period, which is 84.1 days. Okay, so these are some of the effects that we expect to see in the system. So now, as I mentioned before, the project is to investigate these effects by using an hydrodynamic simulations. So we'd like to investigate these different effects and how changing different parameters such as the viscosity or the mass ratio, the eccentricity of the orbit, etc., how this might affect the truncations and everything, what I mentioned before, and try to characterize these effects. Now, as I mentioned before, I'm doing this in collaboration with Alex Gadolfi and Despina. And for my part of the project, what I'm doing a bit differently is that I'm using a grid-based hydrodynamic code, in this case called Pluto, to do my simulation. I say that it's a bit different because the figures I show from Okasaki and what Despina is going to be using is an SPH code, or smoothed particle hydrodynamic code. So the goal here is to see is to use two different code to sort of compare and see, try to use the advantages of both codes. So let's talk a bit more about the code itself. So I'm going to do some publicity for this code. I mentioned this Pluto is a modular code for computational astrophysics. That's how it's advertised. This was created by Dr. Mignone at the University of Torino in Italy. So as I mentioned, this is a grid-based hydrodynamic code. And the reason I decided to use this code is because it's really versatile. So it allows for to simulation in multiple for multiple dimensions. So 1D, 2D, 3D. Okay. We can also, as the name suggests, a modular code. You can also add some different module to add some different things to your simulation. For example, you can do a straight hydrodynamic, or you can add a magnetic field for a magneto-hydrodynamic. You can even add special relativity to your simulation. You have multiple geometry, so not only Cartesian, but spherical, etc. And also, it allows us to use non-ideal effect, such as viscosity, which we know is probably really important in these disks. It's also free to use and open source. And as I mentioned, it's versatile because you're basically in charge of defining the parameters of the simulation. So here's the link if you're interested in looking up this code. So for my simulations, here's some parameters. So to simulate a binary system, I decided to use a 2D simulation, so looking at surface density instead of volume density. And I'm going to use a Cartesian geometry because having a binary star, I do want my grids to be this. I want a resolution that's pretty much equal everywhere, so that's why I'm using this Cartesian geometry. Now I'm going to go quickly here on the assumption of this that I'm using to do the simulation. So I assume an isothermal gas. The external forces, I only consider the gravitational force from both stars, so no self-gravity from the disk. And the viscosity, I use the Shakura-Sanyev prescription, which we've seen before, using the alpha parameter here. Okay. So this code, as far as I've seen, has never been used to model B disks. So first step for me was to make sure that this code is able to reproduce what we know about, to reproduce basically a disk. So for this, I decided to compare it with another code, which was single BE as a reference. So here what I have is a simulation. So I compare the result from the single BE code with the Pluto code for a disk of the same parameter. This here is not for a binary system, but simply an isolated BE star, just to see if I can reproduce the same trend. And as you can see, so I have two curves for Pluto, one in polar coordinates, one in Cartesian. And for two different time, so half a year and a full year. And as you can see, all three curves seems to fall off pretty close to each other. The only difference is for the Cartesian coordinates, you have a bit of lower density at the beginning, and you have this sharper drop at the end, which I'm still not quite sure what causes this here. Now, this was for a simulation with a low viscosity. Also try for higher viscosity. Now, here we see a much bigger difference in the two codes. So you see that a single B is much lower than both simulation using Pluto. Okay. However, we can see that they look the profile sort of looks alike. So if I try to scale them, so basically just divide these two by a certain amount to try to fit them over here, you can see that they still reproduce the same surface density gradient. Again, the Cartesian coordinates does differ here at the end, which is still something I'm looking into. But at least we know that it's only a question of scaling the density, and we still have the same profile. So finally, the next step is to compare, to do the simulation with the binary, and to compare it with the SPH code, which the simulation that Despina is going to make. So this is still in progress, but right now I sort of want to show you some result that I have of the simulation. So this is, so you have the B stars. The B star is the black circle in the middle. The gray circle represents where the binary companion is. And this is for a simulation where we started with no disk and the disk started building. And this is for one, this is one period. I think it's about the 8 period since the disk started to grow. So you can see that we do get these dual density wave that we saw from the result in the first place. So these are pretty, in my opinion, these are pretty cool. So I'm running out of time. Sorry? This is, yeah, this is a 2D simulation. So really quickly, future work. Well, I would like to, as you mentioned, these were 2D. One thing I'd like to do is investigate a 3D case, especially to investigate misaligned orbits, to study disk warping. It'd be fun to combine this with radiative transfer code to get some observable to be able to compare, and investigate other non-binary related dynamical scenario if this simulation, since this code seems to be able to reproduce what we see in binary stars, in B stars. So thank you, and sorry for, again, waiting too long. Sorry?
What type of mass are you looking for your companion? Is it another mass of star?
Really, the mass of the companion is going to be more something that we're going to investigate the effect of the mass. But mostly, I think we're going to study low mass companion.
Okay, so first of all, thank you for complimenting my talk. You have time to say something. There are two little corrections. So first of all, so you said that the disk size is always larger than the periastron distance. I think in periastron,
smaller.
The disk size is always smaller than the
periastron.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to,
Yeah. The small, the smaller.
Always smaller than
I might have said the opposite.
Saw that the secondary seemed to pass through the disk. That is its periastron. And then second little thing is that you showed our results on pi aquaria, the URR variations. So the period is actually not 83 days. It coincides with the orbital period to the Earth. So it's 84.2 days.
That's okay. Yeah, I extrapolated from. I don't know why I extrapolated from this figure instead of.
Yeah. Quoted in the paper.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.